something to the church, and I'm not going to really address it this morning, but I would like for us to try to increase our giving $50 a month to go to our bus ministry. We got a lot of needs as far as take my bus right now. It needs tires and stuff like that. And, but just consider it. And you know, it's good to help missions far, but we need to work on our missions here at home. We're not going to have no foreign missions if we don't build what we got right here. But we're gonna get old, and then it's gonna be like a lot of churches out there. Church's gonna die, dry up. So we need to be reaching out and getting new folks in. And to me, bus ministry is a great opportunity. Just like me and Brother Rick had opportunity this morning, tell a fella just usher him on into this class. But he chose not to. But we got to keep on and trying to build our Sunday school classes. Pray that we build our bus routes and all of our ministries here, whether it be prison. I tell you, I don't know about y'all, but that really spoke to me about those bikers. I said, wasn't that in Utah that were? Wyoming, that's right, Wyoming, okay. But that really spoke to me. I don't know if it spoke to you or not, but go to show you how prejudiced, you know, we can be in the church. He said he didn't want none of them. He wanted something to Christ, we didn't want none of them, you know. But if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. Amen. Huh? And all things are of God. Amen. Not a man, of God. You know, this new creature, hey, man gets saved, you know, he's got an old nature, and that's going to have to be dealt with sometime. Can't expect people to come in your church all nice and smicy and, you know, just like they've been in Sunday school all their lives. You got, I mean, they need time to grow. And I'm going to tell you, the only way that'll happen is if people have compassion and reach out to them in love. Amen. So, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans. We'll just consider that, and we'll talk about that later. But I would like to take that on if y'all were willing. Romans chapter 12. We went over some of this material, but we're going to look at it right quickly, and then we're going to move on. We've been looking at this warfare that Satan levels against the child of God, that the world levels against the child of God, and that our own flesh levels against the child of God. And that warfare is against our mind. We notice Satan warreth against the mind. It's against our mind. It's against our inner being, the heart. You know, the heart, and it's against the soul. And now, sometimes when you read your Bible, there's not a whole lot of difference there, because they're all intertwined. You're one being, you know, and you got a mind, but the heart thinks as well, you know. It can, the heart oftentimes, you know, through the mind, you know, it takes on, you know, a life of its own. And that's the reason why you got to renew that mind, because the heart, you know, might be telling the mind to do something that's not good, you know. In the same way, a lot of times the heart and the mind, that's the reason why you have to have some things settled deep down in your soul, you know. Some anchors. Because your heart and your mind are oftentimes tell your soul what you have decided as a person that is right and what you will do, and the heart and mind will get to working on it, and next thing you know, it's telling the soul what to do rather than decisions you made as a whole person has changed. You say, give me an example of that. Well, you know, there are some people might have, you know, some convictions about this matter of, let's say,
homosexuality. But you keep hearing stuff. Keep hearing stuff. It's going into your mind. You had conviction about it, but you keep hearing it, and you keep hearing it. And some of those stories, I mean, kind of weighed on your heart about people, you know, being picked on and ill-used and abused and stuff. When they, a lot of them even as children, you know, and the reason why they end up sometimes being the way they are is because of the way they've been treated their life. So your heart, you know, kind of might be touched and you might have some compassion, some feeling. Hey, but you're going to have some conviction in you. You're going to have it settled in you what's right and what's wrong.
Yes, sir.
If you don't, over time, your mind and your heart could change the direction of the soul. Listen what it says right here in verse 1. I mean, yeah, 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore. And whenever you do that, look in 34. It says, for who have known the mind of the Lord? So therefore, knowing the mind of the Lord, knowing what God's will is, knowing what God's mind is, we beseech you by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. See, your body houses all three of those aspects of your life. Your heart, your mind, your soul is housed in this body. And he said right here, let your body, present your body, your whole self, your heart, your mind, your soul, your flesh, your spirit, you know, submit all those things that you are unto God. Which is your reasonable service. God ain't asked nothing unreasonable of us. Matter of fact, anything that goes against God is unreasonable. It's foolish. It's stupidity. It's ignorance. I don't care what you call it. It is not good for us. It is leading us to what is right and good into that which is dark, wrong, evil, and destructive. When we're not being subject to the Word of God, we're a bunch of fools. I don't care how saved you are and how long you've been in church. If we're not being subject to the Word of God, hey, we're as big a fool as that man. Matter of fact, I think we're a bigger fool than the man who says, I don't believe in God. Well, you know, you tell me who's the bigger fool. The one that knows beyond a shadow of a doubt what's right and wrong and chooses to roam, or the one who's sitting there all confused about it and chooses to roam. Now, you tell me who's the biggest fool. How many of us sit in church services and hear the Word of God speak to our heart? We sit there and we get adamant in our heart and we do not do what we know we ought to do. We're not obedient. If we're not obedient, we're disobedient. If we're not doing what we know we should do, we're disobedient. You know the story. Man had two sons. He said, son, go to my field and work. He said, I will not. And went off. But later he thought about it. You know, his mind got to working. Maybe about how dad had been good to him and treat how he'd done him over the years. And he said, if I don't do it, you know, if you don't work, you don't eat, you know, and didn't start thinking all those things and reasoning. Maybe he got feeling bad in his heart. You know? He said, I go. And us son, he said, hey son, I need you to go to work. Your brother said he ain't going. He said, well, I'll go, Dad. But he don't. Every time people go up to the altar and put themselves down on the altar, say, God, I will, and don't. We just heard some preaching this week. There's a lot of people, you know what they do? They sit out there in the pews. You know what they said? I won't. Or they say, I will, and I am, and they're not. Because you see, it's not enough. It's not enough, hey, to throw our pennies at it. It ain't enough. We know Jesus told it. He said, man, they came of their substance and they gave. You know what God said they gave? He said, you gave nothing. But a little woman come over and threw two mice in a plate and said, boy, she gave more than all of them. You take up $100,000 offering out of a group of people that should have gave $500,000, and some little old woman get up there and all she has, you know, she's on fixed income. He said, Lord, I don't even know how I'm going to pay my bills this week, but if you want me to give, and you throw it down, he said, she gave more than all of them. And I'll do more. I can do something with what she gave. I said, I'll take what you got, but I can't do a whole lot with it, especially to help you. I might do something with it to help her. God might take away from you to give to that one who gives it all. Right. Holy, acceptable God was your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Maybe one reason why all these people saying I don't believe in their God, there ain't nobody proving it. Maybe they're not seeing enough out of the church to get their attention. And a guy told me yesterday, he said, I'm not interested in church. You see that right there? He said, no soliciting. I said, I ain't soliciting. I said, I want to give you something. And so I said, I'm not interested. Sure, I couldn't get a whole lot in, but I quickly tried to say something, you know, just keep the conversation going, keep shutting the door on me. I said, well, so my name's Dave Leslie. I introduced myself and everything. And I said, you from this area? And he said, well, yeah. He said, well, I moved here about 15 years. Where are you from? He said, New Jersey. I said, well, I've lived up there for a little bit. Kind of got talking with him a little bit, trying at least get my foot in the door and say something that, you know, I care about where you at and everything. But he said, yeah, that's the reason why I come down here. He said, too much crazy up here. I said, well, you come down here and get away from crazy, you come to the wrong place. I did. I told him. I said, as a matter of fact, I said, you probably brought some with you. I didn't get a whole lot of the gospel in, but I gave him something to think about anyway. You know, look over in 13. Now we see here, he said, 16. Excuse me. Look at verse 6. Be of the same mind one toward another, and mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate, and be not wise in your own conceits. I think a lot of times, you know, that guy, that really weighed on my mind, how that preacher said, I don't want them. As far as I'm concerned, they can all just die and go to hell. Right. Huh? Yes, sir. Look out around us. Can they all just die and go to hell as far as we're concerned? What are we doing? What kind of stop sign are you? You out there holding up signs of, whoa, please don't go. Jesus came in and looked out over the city and began to weep. His heart was movedness with compassion. He saw them all perishing. Sheep having no shepherd. That's what's in this world today, all around. Man, they're just being driven by the world, the flesh, and the devil, everyone, and they're wide open. They got that Harley Davidson wide open, screaming down the highway to hell, playing it loud. And can we hear? Do we hear? Do we hear?
runs that motorcycle off at the end.
But he runs into that wall called destiny and destruction. One constant will after that.
Like the old preacher said,
once they get there, they crying out, send somebody to my brother. Send somebody to my family. Send somebody. And we've been sent. You say, well, God ain't called me. Then you ain't saved.
Right. And you're not saved. You say, I don't know about that. Look in Romans chapter 1. It says, a servant of Jesus Christ called to be an apostle, separated in the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, according to his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, all power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his sake, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. Paul's our apostle. And we've been called to his apostleship. Just as he was an apostle sent, he said, so send I you. He said, you follow me like I follow Jesus. You follow me. As I went down the roads, as I went toward the presence, as I went, into persecution, as I went in suffering for my Lord and Savior, follow me as I follow Christ. It ain't comfortable. It ain't going to be comfortable. It's not going to be comfortable to be sold out. But it's right. It's good. It'll mean difference for souls, and it'll make a difference for your eternity. I'm going to heaven. My eternity is looking great. Hey, Bible don't never not one place says that it's going to be the same for everybody. Does it? We know the Jews is going to be there in Israel, in the nation, round about, and then the nations out about it. And the Bible says they'll come up to learn of God. The Jerusalem. And then that holy city, where is the church? You sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. And look, we don't sow to this world. Man, I've often thought, man, one of these days when I look, stand before God and that fire out of Jesus' eyes hits me, and buddy, and all my work, and boy, you know, when he talked about them crowns, he's going to go up there and blow the ashes out of the way. Oh, there he is! And he's going to take a little finger. Maybe I'll be like a Hindu. All the crown I got is going to get like a dot between my eyes. Well, that is all left. Make up my crown. How many will be willing to greet us? How many of them will be glad to see us when we get to heaven? Must I go an empty handed? Must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet thee. Must I empty handed go? Be the same mind. Have compassion, making a difference. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. And be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be ordained of God, and whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. You know what I was talking about, and getting that mind and that heart, you know, being subject to your soul. I made my mind a long time ago. If I get caught speeding, I'm paying the fine. I'm gonna pay the ticket. I'm not gonna get no lawyer to lie for me and say, you know, there was some kind of problem with my car, and you know. But then, can I get my mind to say to my foot, be subject to the power, drop that thing back and drive the speed limit? Can I be subject to the all powers that be of God? Be willing to pay your taxes. Don't try to skim out. Be subject to the powers, they all ordained of God. And the powers here, that says, the Bible says, God loves a cheerful giving. And he said, and the Bible said, we are to give accordingly as God has given it us. You know, the brother talked about a tithe this weekend. I don't get into all that, but I tell you one thing. Most of us should give above the tithe.
Amen.
I think the Bible says we're to give as God has given it us. Start measuring how God has given it to you. Think about what God has given you. It's not yours anyway, what God has put within your care. Let me back up. We need to learn that it's all God's, give it all to God, period. It's all His, give it all to Him, then way we disperse it. Is it God that's doing it, or is we doing it? Is God showing us where to put our money, or these are decisions that we're making? Measuring some of this stuff, we're trying to make become more accountable in my home. You know, how are we going to spend our money? Where it's going to go? What it's going to be put forth to? We're going to waste it? My goodness! I tell you what happens, people. I get to running sometimes, and we're tired. And you know what? We'll end up eating out 4 or 5 times a week. You know how much that costs? And then my wife said, it's ridiculous, it's stupid. I tell you what, before you decide to go out and eat someplace like, you know, some of these nice expensive restaurants, won't you ask God if that's where He wants you to go spend your money or not? I said, pray about some things, right? No?
All things.
You really not have anything to do about what we eat? What we drink? See, y'all know this stuff. All I'm doing is going over stuff y'all already know. But are we obeying it? Have we actually been taught? Take your Bibles. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. This is kingdom doctrine, but it's everyday living. Same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together in Him. So did He went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed, some fell by the wayside, and when the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And therefore they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root, and they withered away. Some fell upon thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But another fell into good ground, brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And disciples came, saying to Him, why speakest to them in parables? And He answered and said,
unto them. Because it is given unto you to know the mystery. It's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. So he didn't speak to them in parables so that they could understand, but in hearing that they would not understand. And you say, why is that? You know, they can take it up with God. Something about the heart. I know that. I guarantee they went away thinking. They went away making some decisions. Huh? Some of them went away and said, that guy's crazy. Done with that. Others went away, man, what was he saying? How did he, what did he mean by that? Boy, and get maybe some convictions. I'm going by. That's why they have lost people to come here to church. They come here and they sit and they say, what in the world is all that about? You think they understand? They don't understand. That's what we need to pray for. The Word of God will have its work, but that doesn't mean, the Bible said if any man be lost, huh? How's he lost? Because the God of this world has blinded his mind. These things are spiritually discerned. Without the Spirit of God, no man knows them. He spoke to them in parables. A lot of people, there may be people sitting in here today, it says, if they hear it, just like it's a parable, it makes no sense to them. They don't know what's going on. Pray that men, women, boys, and girls have understanding. Not just that they'll learn it. I'm going to tell you something. I knew a lot of the gospel inside out, frontwards, backwards. I knew a lot of the Bible, Brother Rick, way before I got saved. I like to read. I read the Bible a lot from the time I was little until the time I finally got saved. But I didn't have no earthly idea what it meant. You'd ask me, said, are you saved? I said, yeah. I said, how do you know? I said, Jesus died for me. Buried and rose again from the dead. I'm trusting him. He said, what's the difference? It was vain. I knew it, but I never received it. There's got to be a receiving. Paul said, if you believed, unless you have believed in what? Vain. Didn't do me no good to believe it. Because I had not yet received it. And you don't get that till you really see you need it and want it. Because it's given to you know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall he take away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parable, because they seeing, see not. Because they hearing, they hear not, and neither do they understand. And in them was fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, you shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. And why? Verse 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, should understand with their heart, and should be converted. I want to talk to you just for a few minutes about a heart problem. A heart problem. What did these people have? They had a heart problem. Their heart was blind. You know? That's the reason why they couldn't understand with their minds, or they had a heart that would not understand. It had waxed gross. It was dull of hearing. Heart problem. 10 through 15, we see that this is disclosed by the Lord Jesus. This is a problem due to what the heart desires. It's because of what it desires. You can see that through the parable when Jesus, you know, explains it. Look here. He says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. See, they desired to hear, but they didn't get them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. They heard the word of God, but their ears were dull of hearing.
Sent church service after church service after church service. And you sat there, and buddy, you know what happened? You might as well take out that keen edge, and buddy, just run it back and forth across the wet rock till you dull that thing off. Oh, your ears are gonna come dull of hearing. You think you're gonna just keep on hearing the word of God and His commands without a result? Does people think that way? They do.
Yes, sir.
They say one day. One day, Brother Rick, we'll go. One day we'll do. One day, we just like that fellow that surrendered to go to the mission field. And buddy, and he said, one day, I get this taken care of, and I get that taken care of, and I get this fixed, and I get that fixed, then I'll go. And all of a sudden, he's an old man. And he never went. And you know what happened? Over the years, his ears got duller and duller and duller and duller from hearing.
He that received the seed in the stony places. The same heareth the word, and anon with joy receiving it. Think about stone. That's kind of hard, isn't it? Some people's heart gets hardened. Heard it said years ago, same sun that melts the snow hardens the mud. That's all we are. Bunch of mud. Animated mud balls made from the dust of the air. I'm going somewhere with this. Y'all hold on. He don't have no root within himself, but dureth for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. Let me say this. If you're not expecting trouble, problems, you're not expecting everything to go well, and there's going to be I know God's going to take care of us, and God's going to, and He is. He's going to take care of you. If you're there starving to death, He's going to be there taking care of you. He'll carry you through whatever thing He puts you through. But if you think you're not going to possibly be out there like old Job was out there in the ashes, scraping the sores. He was the only one sitting there that had any idea of what God was like. They were sitting there telling him what was wrong with him. Mm-hmm. Why are you suffering like this? You tell that old beggar Lazarus who was laying out there with sores, and Buddy and the dogs would come and lick him. That's the only thing he had to comfort him. Mm-hmm. And look over and see that rich man and all his bounty and desire to be bread with the crumbs that was down there on the ground. You tell him that he didn't know God, he wasn't right with God. I'm going to tell you something. God put him there for a reason. He was testifying of the goodness and the grace of God. So in his trouble and tribulation, he knew the Lord. And he knew his place. This is not my home. I'm just passing through. Amen. My treasure's laid up somewhere. Where's your treasure? Where his treasure was, because we see him in a little while. Huh?
Yes, sir.
He's in the bosom of Abraham. He's comforted. God can't trust some people with suffering. But you know it's a gift.
Yes, sir.
It's a gift. I say to myself, oftentimes, my life has been so light. I've suffered so little. I said, God, I must be 1 week, sorry, no account Christian. It's easy and it's light and it's seen others carrying the care and the weight, seemingly of the world at times. You're not having no problems, no worries, no trouble. Don't just thank God for them. Ask Him, where's my part? Where's my cross? Where's my suffering? I don't think so. I don't think so. Paul said that I may know Him and the fellowship and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. I'll get up every morning. Lord, let me suffer with you. Let me enter into your sufferings. Or we get up and pray, oh Lord, help me today. Give me a good day. That, you know, keep the troubles back. Keep the devil at bay. When's the last time you got him and said, Lord, let the devil be on me and give brother so and so a rest? Let me take some of it. Am I right? Am I a fool? Am I with the book? If I ain't, get with me later. Show me. Instruct me. Look at here. He had no root. He dureth for a while, but for tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word. By and by, he's offended. He said, okay, this is what being a Christian is. Forget it. Man, now you hear what that preacher asked from me? No, I ain't going there. I'm going home. I'm sat down. I know I'm saved. And Lord, they can take care of themselves. Lord, I'm just going to sit here and work and pay my bills. Do whatever. I'm done with all that. Now he also that received seed, verse 22, is he that heareth the word of God and the care of this world. Now, what's that care? That means you're concerned about the worldly things. Your riches. Your monies, your entertainments, your comforts. You know, homes, bank accounts, the cares of this world. The cares of the world. And it says, the care of this world. And notice this. The deceitfulness of riches. You know, a lot of people, they have money and they'll tell you, boy, God has been good to me. He's blessed me with this, He's blessed me with that, and He's blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed. And they got all this stuff, and yet they talk about how good God is to them. The preacher says, look, we need some people to come out and, you know, maybe help do a little bit of visiting in churches, you know, is struggling right now. And, you know, you can look and tell that, you know, the congregation is getting older. We need some lambs in here. We need some young sheep in here. We need some new cows to milk. You know what I'm saying? Because you can talk about giving more and more and more and more and more, but I'm going to tell you, hey, it's going to be a time that it might all run out. We need, if you want to do more, you're going to get more milk. Brother Ricky, you have to build up the herd, amen? That sheep out there ain't going to grow no more wool than it grows. I ain't yet to see a sheep with the wool sticking out like that, have you? They grow about like that, then they shear it off, they done it again. You got an annual shearing, right? Just sit down and pray. Oh, God said, won't you do like I told you to do? You want to prosper? You want to give more? Give yourself. Reach another one. And teach them to reach another one. And teach them to reach another one. Man, I say this with my shame. I ain't added one person this church this past year. I have trained not one person this past year to go out further. Not one. Oh, I've had a couple people come in on the bus route, but I've not added to this church not one person who is sold out, giving themselves to God, you know, and training them to do the work of God. How many of you got in here this past year? What's our excuse? I go, that's all it is. God ain't changed. You say, yeah, but people are so hard-headed out there. Yeah, yeah, they're sitting right in this room, right here, standing right here. Here's where the hard heads are at.
I know this is horrible. I'm mean.
Right. Go ahead. Go ahead. Truth will set you free.
Somebody is going to have to make a difference. And it's going to cost something. Brother Doom pointed out some things. I talked to my pastor a bunch of times about this. It's the thing about revival. You know, he mentioned, he said, you know, we started out, we had protracted meetings. We went. Until something happened. We went till something happened. They would plan a meeting. Call, you know why, Brother Rick? They knew that the church needed reviving. And they would meet, and they would meet, and they would meet, and they would meet. And sometimes it dropped down just a handful. But they kept on till what? Till something happened. And it would increase, and then it would increase, and then it would increase. He said, then we got where we planned 2 weeks. We planned. And then down to a week. Down to 3 days. Then he talks about an evangelical meeting. I'm saying, what would happen if everybody in this room would say today in their heart, oh God, I can't do this. I know I can't. Give me one person, Lord. Get up every morning hungering and thirsting till you see that one brought in. Out on the hills away. You know, there's a sheep out there. He's dying. Can you hear him call? Where we go, where we do it. And I told the preacher, I said, preacher, I said, do you want revival? I mean, just really got down to it and said, God, I really want revival to take place here in my church. And did like some of them men of old that grabbed hold of the horns of the altar and would not let go. They wanted something so bad. Old Joab did that and he said, we'll kill him today. His time's up. Don't wait too long like Joab. I don't want to die. All dried up and withered. Not on fire for God. I won't be an old bush in the wilderness set afire. Go to the Lord in prayer.